A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
All who see me scoff at me. They mock me with parted lips. They wag their heads. He relied on the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he loves him.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
Indeed, many dogs surround me. A pack of evildoers closes in upon me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
They divide my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far from me. O my help, hasten to aid me.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, give glory to him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel.
My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Christ became obedient to the point of death. Because of this, God greatly exalted him. bestowed on him the name which is above every name.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The gospel today will be the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. You may find it on page 13 in your supplement. The congregation will please read the parts in bold print marked chorus. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest him by treachery and put him to death. They said, when he was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant. They were infuriated with her. Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, he sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
He said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, for the Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said,
"Take it, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. And they all drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times.
But he vehemently replied,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. He said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch."
He advanced a little and fell to the ground, and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass him by. He said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will.
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up. Let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Then while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely.
He came and immediately went over to him and said,
Rabbi.
And he kissed him. At this they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging, Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But he was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?
Then Jesus answered,
I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?
They all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him, And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said, But he denied it, saying,
I neither know nor understand what you are talking about.
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, Once again he denied it. A little later the bystanders said to Peter once more, He began to curse and to swear,
I do not know this man about whom you are talking.
And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, Before the cock crows twice, you will be denying me 3 times. He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
Are you the king of the Jews?
He said to him in reply,
You say so.
The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of.
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, he used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted again. Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting on him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said, 'Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him.' At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,'
which is translated,
'My God, why have you forsaken me?'
Some of the bystanders who heard it said, 'One of them ran, soaked a sponge in wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down.'
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last." The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James, and of Joseph and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day for preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where he was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Beloved, today's celebration marks the end of the regular season of Lent and the beginning of the extraordinary period of time known as Holy Week. The Holy Week celebrations have their own unique character. And you can say that for us, we find ourselves at a crossroads. And as such, I invite us to do two things. To look back from whence we've come, and to begin to look forward to where we are headed. Reflect upon Ash Wednesday and how we began the journey. Think about the resolutions you may have established for yourself, inspired by the Lord in prayer. You may consider how well you were able to accomplish the resolutions you made. You may also consider how things just never seemed to ever get you where you needed to be. You could never really establish the rhythm. It was like hit and miss, but nevertheless, you persevered. You tried your best. For some of us, we may be here today saying, my God, Lent is over already and Easter is a week away. Whatever the situation, wherever you find yourself, be there. Take time again to reflect. What has the Lord been doing with you, trying to do with you throughout these days of wandering, not so much wandering, but journeying with Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness? But let us not focus too much on what we wanted to do, what was supposed to happen, because really, in the big picture, it doesn't matter. What happened yesterday and how we started really is not the issue. Now is about reorientation, turning ourselves towards where we are going. And considering still, because the work is still at hand, the Lord is still wanting to do something with us. Now, what might the invitation be? We think about the gospel passages that we've heard today. We heard of the triumphal entry of the Lord, and we were introduced to different people, the two disciples going in, being given specific instructions. They find everything just as Jesus says they would be. A man carrying a water jar, follow him. They go, and the directions are given. They express it exactly as Jesus says, and everybody complies with the request. Then as we hear this narrative of the passion of the Lord, according to Mark's gospel, which, mind you, is the longest of all of the four gospels. It's the shortest of the gospels, but it's Mark that gives us the most details about what happened leading up to the death of Jesus. Who did you find yourself identifying with? You may remember last year, Deacon Ed gave us a very in-depth, you could say like an examination of conscience, focusing in, honing in on particular persons in the scenes of the narrative, enabling us to see possibly, was I resonating with that person? Who comes out? What strikes you? What caught your attention? More importantly, this time around, could it be that the Lord is inviting you and I to identify with one of the characters in the Passion narrative by which he desires us to be present to him, to be a part of this time in his life, as he will obediently submit to the Father's will, obedient to the Father, but in love for us, he is going to subject himself to the most heinous type of treatment known to humanity. You'll also notice that in the Gospels, all four Gospels, when they speak about Jesus in his torments that he receives, none of them go into detail about the flagellation, his being scourged at the pillar.
They just say, they, like Mark says, and Scarlet had, and Pilate had him scourged. But they don't go into details about it. And the reason why, because it wasn't like them just using a whip with leather cords or a cane to cane someone with. It was cords that were, at the end, they had nodules and they would put like hooks and stuff to lacerate the body to such an extent. In fact, Josephus, Flavius Josephus, in his writing on the details of how the Romans would employ the crucifixion, the methods of torture, they said they had it in such a way that they would, it would literally expose the inner bowels of the man that would be, it's a terrible thing. And perhaps the gospel writers didn't want us to get distracted by that so much. But to focus on the one sent by the Father, who identifies you and I, each of us, by our names. Yes, he's fully aware of your sins and my sins, but he's focusing on your heart and the name given to you by his Father. Let us be resolved, starting on this Palm Sunday, as we move into this holiest time of the year. Let us be resolved to take to prayer and read again, perhaps, this particular gospel again, the narrative of the Passion according to Mark, or Luke, or Matthew, or John, whichever one you want. But as you do, ask the Holy Spirit, who does my Lord want me to be near to him? In what person does he want me to enter into these days, into this time, so we can have this intimacy where you and I can look into his heart and he can look into our hearts? That's what intimacy means. Into me see. Look into the heart of the Lord as he looks into yours, so that by the time all of this is said and done, we, like the disciples that hailed him with the great cries of Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, laying their cloaks down, laying their palm, carrying the palm branches, the cloaks symbolizing the very, they're all in with the Lord. They're all in at this point. They're going all the way with him. The palm branches symbolizing the victory of the king. He enters as a king, and he departs as a king. How he comes in and how he comes out are two different realities of what the people then expected and what maybe even us still expected. But he is the king of love. Our shepherd is. Let us renew ourselves, leaving what has been in the past, focusing on what is now at hand and yet to come. May we be forced, may we be resolute. Now that we have arrived, we've been singing that wonderful hymn, Jerusalem, my destiny. Now we are at the destination. Let us be present to the Lord. Let us be generous with our time. Spend the necessary time in prayer. Even if you fall asleep with him. Give him the joy of waking you up and saying, hey, I need you. I need you now more than ever before. God love you.
Amen.